This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Look out, Woj. Look out, Schefter. Shams Charania is reaching outside of sports to break news. The news, if you're just getting up for the day, the news is that the President of the United States and the First Lady have tested positive for the coronavirus. But I was really surprised that that news break came from the guy from sports in a contract year from The Athletic. He is very young. How old is he? How is he so well connected? That is a dangerous story to report if you do not have the details confirmed, like locked down solid.
But to your point, a massive report in a contract year. I mean, that is a great job by Shams.
He's in his mid-20s, 25.
Wow.
How is that dude that kind of connected? How is that possible?
It reminds me of the time that The Rock kind of low-key broke the story that Osama bin Laden had been killed.
I didn't hear that story.
You didn't know that?
No.
Oh, dude, look it up. The Rock totally broke the news that Osama was killed.
He was the first one?
Yeah, like he tweeted out something like, I just got some very good news that'll bring the country together, something to that effect.
But he didn't say what it actually was?
No, but it in retrospect, with the benefit of hindsight, he totally knew.
So the niece of the president, Mary Trump, says, I reserve my sympathy, empathy, and despair for those who are sick and for those who have died because they were misled, lied to, or ignored. Wear a bleeping mask. Hashtag vote. So now schools are opening and all over the place. Restrictions are being limited as we head into a crazy election year. So we begin the show by talking about the New York Jets.
Just quickly, oh God, The Rock tweeted out exactly, just got word that will shock the world. Land of the free, home of the brave, damn proud to be an American.
Okay, but okay, so he was, but he didn't really.
An hour after that, President Obama received word.
Okay, but that's fine, and he probably did know, but he didn't break the news. But we don't know at the time. He may have known, but he didn't report what he knew.
No, he wanted to give President Obama the shine at that point, but he knew before.
He reported that he was proud to be an American.
That's what he reported.
Quote, damn proud to be an American.
My bad.
So Adam Gase is now 30-39 as a NFL head coach. He has more losses by at least two possessions, 31, than total wins. This is from Bruce Beck for New York. Since Christopher Johnson gave Adam Gase a vote of confidence and called him a brilliant offensive mind on September 16th, the Jets are 0-3 and have been outscored 104-48. This is from NFL Doug Farrar. Adam Gase's career winning percentage as a head coach is 441. That gives him the worst winning percentage of any current coach who has ever been a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Gase, this is from Jay Caparoso, is 7-13 as Jets head coach, 20-32 in his last 52 games, started 0-4 in both seasons as Jets head coach. Jets have four offensive touchdowns in their first four games this year, two on broken plays, two deep in garbage time.
Yep.
This is from FBG Chase. Adam Gase is now 5-30 in games decided by more than 8 points. That's unfathomably bad. And this is from the New York Daily News. The Jets committed 8 of their 11 penalties for 118 yards in their first 15 minutes of the game. That team, say they might be the worst team in football, but beyond maybe being the worst team in football, they have taken your hope out this year so very early in both games and the season, Stugatz, because the 49ers ran a first play sweep that went for 80 yards.
Yep.
Your first offensive possession against the Colts was a pick six that put you immediately behind in a game you were blown out in. And then last night, I mean, that's a crazy number of penalties for the first quarter of the game, Stugatz.
Yeah, they're not disciplined at all. They're not well coached at all. They're 0-4. Last night started off differently because Sam Darnold had a big run. The Jets got out to a 7-0 lead. I'm glad the Jets lost because I am tanking for Trevor right now. That's the only thing the Jet fan can hold out hope for, is that somehow you stumble into Trevor Lawrence, and whether or not Dabo Swinney comes with him is to be determined, but we'll see. But, Dan, here's the biggest indictment on Adam Gase. And again, he's my friend, and I happen to like him. On a personal level, super nice guy. Been nice to me, been nice to my family. He should be fired today. The biggest indictment on Adam Gase is that Sam Darnold has gotten worse, and Adam Gase was brought in there to make him better. Well, he has gotten worse. He was outplayed by Mark Rypien's son last night.
And Tannehill has gotten better. Billy, why are you laughing at Stugatz? I'm sorry, the Zoom isn't working. We will come back to Billy. There were some more Jets notes here that were funny, Stugatz, because
they're funny.
This is also from the New York Daily News. The Broncos had 11 players on injured reserve, including their starting quarterback, their best wide receiver, a key running back, their right tackle, their perennial Pro Bowl defensive tackle, their starting cornerback, and future Hall of Fame pass rusher. And as you mentioned, Brett Rypien was their quarterback.
Yeah, yeah. The Jets have some injuries, too. I mean, Le'Veon Bell is out and receivers are out. They're just not very good, Dan. They're not good. And the problem is you have a GM that Adam Gase hired that now has to fire Adam Gase. The only reason Joe Douglas is the Jets GM is because Adam Gase wanted him to be the GM. And now Joe Douglas is left with having to fire the guy that hired him.
Well, how does this work?
It's a mess.
Colin Cowherd reported that the Jets coach, Adam Gase, would be fired if they lost to the Broncos. He reported that yesterday or 2 days ago. Are you expecting Gase to be fired this week?
I'm expecting that. Although I will tell you, on Stupidity yesterday, Diana Rossini was saying that Adam Gase is going to be fine. So, I mean, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I expect him to be fired this week. He should be fired this week. He's done a lousy job. I mean, why should he keep his job? They're 0-4. I mean, we've been waiting forever to get rid of Tom Brady, to get him out of that division, and he's finally out, and it's the same old for the New York Jets. It's unbelievable, man. I'm distraught. I'm in a really bad place right now because I'm not even caring. I'm not tuning into these games on time. I'm not paying attention the way I probably should be. I don't care anymore. I don't care. Get me Trevor.
Mike Ryan is laughing in your face with his arms crossed because Mike Ryan's team is over 500.
I don't want to hear about it. For the first time in 6 years, congratulations.
Oh, man. Stinks to have a bad football team, Ryan. I went to a movie theater. I had a movie theater to myself and my wife. It was great. And as I was pulling out of the movie theater, I passed a restaurant that had TVs outside, and I damn near crashed the Jeep because I saw Joe Flacco trotting out in a black uniform.
Oh, wait a minute.
Hold on
a second. Put that on the poll, please, Guillermo. At Lebatard Show, is the first time you realized Joe Flacco was a Jet when he came out last night to be a Jet? Because I think that happened to America last night. I think a football nation looked at that and was like, whoa, Joe Flacco is a Jet.
So after I saw him, I recalled him signing with the Jets, but there was no preseason. So there was no warming up to the notion that possibly he was still on the roster. So when he came out, it might as well have been a unicorn trotting out on the field and probably would have done better.
I want him to stay out there, to be honest with you. He was 2-2. He's perfect quarterback.
He's a name. He's a name. Stugatz will take anybody who's a name. Always and forever, Stugatz is here for anyone name-related. I've heard that name. Make him my quarterback. Also, I'm a little bit surprised that Stugatz is publicly firing his friend.
I have to separate my friendship with my job, and my friendship with Adam Gase says, yeah, I wish he would still remain the Jets head coach because I've waited my entire life to be friendly with the Jets head coach. But Dan, I have fired coaches quicker than four games, and I need to fire Adam Gase today.
That was one of the most incredible sequences earlier when you just said, Adam Gase, I love him. Great to me, great to my family. He should be fired.
I find that this is a fascinating time for Stugatz to decide to care about his credibility when it just buries someone he's calling a friend. This is the spot where you need to be an objective journalist. I need to come to this microphone and I need to fire somebody I'm calling a friend. You've actually fired people who are your friends. You fired Allison.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. Unnecessary point, but absolutely.
Unnecessary firing as well, one might add.
You are right. Totally accurate, everything you're saying.
It's just coming up in conversation because you're someone who fires friends. You fire friends at microphones. You fire friends in real life. You're a firer of friends.
Thanks, Dan.
You're welcome, Stugatz. We got a finals game tonight in the NBA, and we've got a group of defeated, gutless people around here. It's no crazy. One's got the guts. Everyone is broken. Everyone is saying, even around here, as national commentators seem like something between disappointed and angry at the Miami Heat, that the injury situation is too much to overcome. There's a general despondence here that the finals are basically over before they've even started.
The person I am... I don't want to say disappointed, but I'm surprised by his reaction this morning is Mike Ryan, who is such a big Heat fan, and you're down 1-0. All you've done is lost a game on the Lakers' home court. You're down 1-0, and listen, you have fought hard to get to this place where you are four wins away from winning a title, and now it seems like just getting there is enough. That's disappointing.
I think Mike Ryan's attitude is the right attitude, not just realistically, not just because the Lakers have the two best players in the series, but if you reduce your expectations to nothing, it ends up hurting a lot less. And if you reduce your expectations to nothing, you leave open the possibility of a surprise.
That's why you tell me every year before the NFL season kicks off, the Jets are going to be lousy.
You do it all the time. You make this mistake. You've learned nothing from your Jets allegiances. You come into every season hoping for something. This is the year the Jets are going to do something.
They had a pick six last night. I think they took the lead for like a minute. I started looking at the standings and the schedule.
Yeah, you get fooled by the play. A tweeter here, a lot of people are enjoying Mike Ryan's pain because he is a public, loud homer. He is strident. He is obnoxious. He is some of the things that Miami fans get buried for. Lakers fans aren't a whole lot better. They are equally loud. And so somebody writes in here, the Mike Ryan exaggerated LeBron disdain is so ridiculous. Dude gave you four of the best years of your life with two rings, and you're mad that he left the wrong way? Be happy that he played any part in his journey. That was never a given.
I am happy we played a part in his journey. I could also be sad that he ripped it away in a way that he didn't rip it away from other people. So, no, I'm very... Those were some of the most exciting sports days of my life, the big three. That felt way different than even this finals appearance.
What do you mean ripped it away in ways that he hadn't to other people?
Well, because he depleted the franchise of assets. When he left Cleveland, he just left Cleveland. In fact, Cleveland got stuff when he left Cleveland. We didn't get anything except for him, like, recruiting against them.
Champions.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying in terms of a haul after he left. We just lost a bunch of first-round draft picks, and he left, and he recruited against us.
He was Cleveland's asset, though. That was it. There was no, and, like, the owner found out at the same time that we found out.
Oh, I'm not saying that that it was worse than the public embarrassment of the decision. I'm not arguing that. But from an asset-building standpoint, he actually left Cleveland in a spot where they could be in an advantageous position 4 years later, even though they botched many of those assets.
If they were competent, they could have been.
To acquire pieces that would make it more attractive of a destination.
You mentioned the last segment that you went to a movie theater last night and that you had it to yourself. So first things first, I have several questions about this. Was it 10 cents the way that we reported initially during the pandemic that a movie theater chain was just offering people a 10 cent entry? Did you get a discount?
The prices were discounted. That seemed fairly obvious. I went to a Cine Bistro, which is one of those, it's like dinner and a movie. So it was actually quite nice. I got, you know, a bottle of wine, pretty nice food, but it was a pleasant experience. Confusing as hell movie, but a pleasant experience.
You had the theater to yourself,
my wife and I.
Not another person other than you guys.
Just my wife and I. It was great.
I have a feeling you could have paid whatever you wanted to pay to get into that movie. I'm not certain what you paid, but you could have given them $1 and they would have taken it.
The tickets were $6 and then they get you on the convenience fee. But this is one of those higher-end Cine Bistro type places, so you're not going to get the cut-rate prices. But there were ridiculous deals out there. In Miami, you could rent an entire theater for $99.
Did you did not enjoy or understand the movie?
I kind of understood it after researching it a little bit. I saw Tenet, which is just Christopher Nolan on acid, and you kind of know what you're getting into, and I wanted this big blockbuster tentpole summer movie, and I kind of got that to a degree, but it's just like, it's just simultaneously overwritten and underwritten. I was just so happy to be in a movie theater and have a little slice of normal, even though it was like just empty, that it didn't quite feel normal. But the movie was just, man, I don't, it's, I could get it if I watch it again, but I have no interest in watching it again.
What's normal about an empty theater drinking a bottle of wine and having a five-course meal?
That sounds wonderful. Like, that sounds like the pandemic has really, really worked out for you last night.
I spun it into a win for me.
You went in with masks. Both of you went in with masks,
but then you take them off. Like, I can't sip the wine through the mask, so, and I got a bottle of wine, so pretty much mask off the entire time. But no one else was in the theater, so that was good.
Did you sanitize the seats? I'm certain the theater does it. I know, so they you have to do it yourself.
This theater does have, like, a server that comes to you, and they take all the protocols.
I ain't trusting anyone when it comes to sanitizing. I'm sorry.
Well, haven't you annoyed your entire family because you just keep, like, blurting some form of the Rona?
If anyone makes a sound, a cough, a sneeze, I walk behind them, right behind them, and I whisper, Corona? Like, I'm asking if they have it, and they say no every time.
So you're a Corona creeper around your family. Yes. Just if anyone coughs or sneezes or even has something in their throat.
Here's the other thing I don't like. When did we stop wearing gloves? Gloves seem to be such an important part of the equation. Billy has his on right now, latex gloves. Good job out of you, Bill. But it was such an important part of the equation early on, and now everyone's saying it does more harm than good to wear gloves. I'm going back to the gloves. Because have you noticed the makeshift thing on the door as you walk into this hotel here? It's a piece of cardboard over the handle. I mean, that would suggest that someone doesn't want to get germs, right?
No, that's a sticker. That's self-cleaning.
Oh.
Yeah.
I just read that. I have taken to, as I've told you, just opening things with my feet, opening things with my knees, opening things with the bottom of my shirt. It's a terrible, terrible way to live. If you're just joining us, though, the reason Billy Gill is wearing a single latex glove is because earlier in the show, he started a task force, an investigation, and a prosecution of the cheating-ass Cubs, and he was showing us exhibits in a Ziploc bag, his cell phone, weather maps, and so he didn't want to get any fingerprints on any of the evidence there, but Billy,
you need to maintain the integrity of the evidence, Dan. And that's what
if you're just joining us, I thought you should get that explanation for why it is that Billy Gill was wearing a single latex glove.
Just if you could explain to me very quickly, Stugatz, because I was just learning it as you were saying, what harm does wearing latex gloves do to you? Because you said that it does more harm than good.
No, I don't know. Those were the reports where suddenly everyone told me to stop wearing gloves. And I thought, you know, wearing gloves was a big way of preventing yourself from getting COVID. So,
I mean, reports, Stugatz, like, really?
Yeah, I mean, feel Fauci, like, actually.
Okay.
Fauci told them.
That gloves do more harm than good?
Because sometimes, Dan, so you're wearing the gloves, right? And then you get, like, germs on the gloves, and people don't know how to take them off correctly without giving themselves the germs on another part of their body. You got to take them off. They got to be inside out when you take them off. Then you just dump them into the garbage. Billy knows. I mean,
I think what you do is you have the glove. It gets dirty. You go, you wash your hands with the gloves on, and then you take off the glove inside out. For 20 seconds.
Look.
Okay.
I don't dance now.
Fauci.
Just, I make money moves.
Just wear a bleeping mask. Just that's it. That's all I'm asking. It's the bare minimum you can do to care for your fellow man.
I mean, maybe you should wear some gloves because, listen, I've seen you around here trying to open doors with the bottom of your shirt and a sock. I mean, it seems easier if you just wore gloves. I mean, it's.
Christine Lisi, I am sorry that we got in your way. Please continue.
And finally, Popeyes has debuted chocolate-filled beignets with a nationwide release to follow. So that's where Chris Cody's been.
Yes. Yes. I love that Christine Lisi is expanding her game. She is coming after people who are not even here, because after the Heat and Marlins made the playoffs, Chris Cody took off all his clothes, ran out of his house wearing only Crocs, and told us he would see us sometime around game three of the Heat final.
But she delivered an awe after that. She laughs, a maniacal laugh, when she takes shots at me and you.
Yeah, that's right. That's very gentle with Chris Cody. She'll get better, though. We are poisoning her one step at a time, and she will be full-fledged evil by the time that we are finished with her. Bomani Jones has been name-dropped in a Black Thought song that just dropped here. I love the Roots. Do you guys care? It doesn't seem like you guys care. Only hip-hop head Tony seems to care. Roy seems to care. Billy and Mike are meeting this with a great deal of indifference. Tony, because that's high praise when it's Black Thought, right? I've gotten Lil Dicky, which is kind of what I deserve. I mean, Freddie Gibbs, too, which is much better in terms of street credibility than Lil Dicky. But that's about how that one should go, me getting Lil Dicky and him getting Black Thought.
Yeah, Black Thought is like one of the OGs, and I don't know if you've seen it. He had a Funk Flex freestyle where he went on for like 10 minutes straight off the dome, and it was incredible. So anything Black Thought related shows you the highest praise in hip-hop.
I did see that.
Stugatz was on the podcast of Bill Simmons. How did that go? Were you great? What would you tell people about your appearance on the Simmons podcast? What were you there to talk about?
We were talking about the demons in his attic. We were talking about the Heat. We were talking about the Celtics. We were talking about the Jets. Yes, I was great. Bill was great. I enjoyed being on that podcast. It was a lot of fun. It really was. I made fun of Simmons a good deal because of his Celtics. But then he made fun of me because after losing the greatest quarterback in the history of NFL football, he still has the best quarterback in the AFC East.
Yes, that's right. Yep. I've got to think, though. This has got to be funny, right? You got to think that Bill Belichick says to himself, as the Jets and the Dolphins decide to eat at the same dinner table, the same way the Bills did and the Jets did. It's like, really? You guys in the division are going to see me annihilate Adam Gase, and then one of the other teams in your division is going to steal Adam Gase? Wait a minute. You guys have seen me beat Ryan Fitzpatrick for all of the teams in the division. Really? You're going to come after me again with Ryan Fitzpatrick? All three teams in the division. Rex Ryan. Oh, the Jets don't want him anymore? Oh, wait, the Bills want him? Like, honest to God, you've got a legendary coach and just this epic apocalyptic failure for two decades underneath him in the division. And the solution, these people think, is let me go get a leader that has already lost to him many times in the division.
And his solution, Belichick's, is I'm going to sit back, relax, jump in a lake without my shirt on and wait for Cam Newton to become available.
For free. for totally discounted at like a bargain rate.
The tide is starting to turn. For example, the Bills now have a younger Cam Newton, it would appear.
I want to talk about this for a second. I want to talk about the admitting when you're wrong, when you're supposed to do it. Because as we saw last night with Kershaw, Stugatz, you know what his response is going to be. Do it the next time. Don't do it. Like third, that's not
a
big game.
Wild card, please.
It's only a big game when he loses it. Right. The wild card. We know what the reaction is going to be to 13 strikeouts in 8 innings. It's going to always be the same.
They invented a round so he could finally perform well in the postseason.
Yeah.
Hey, give me a break.
So he could keep hitting this note forever because the games that Kershaw pitches, they're only big games, according to Stugatz, when he loses them. But when do I have to admit that I'm wrong on Josh Allen? Because I do think you guys are premature in assigning it to 3 games when I've got a sample size larger than that that says his accuracy and his decision-making are problematic. I don't think that I have to make that admission after 3 games.
I'm going to find the stat, but it's not just 3 games. It's his last 15 games.
No, last 14 games, he's got 33 touchdowns and 3 interceptions, but he's got a fumbling problem and he's got a judgment problem. Like, he's reckless with the football. He's super talented. He's super talented. I'm not questioning that, but he's had an accuracy problem and he's had a reckless problem. And maybe those are correctable, but I don't trust that they've been corrected after 3 games. I don't.
Wouldn't, you know, 3 interceptions over 14 games kind of, I mean, it seems like he's figured that out, right?
I would say let's see, because he loses the football. He takes sacks. Like, there are things that he does that lose football games. Now, he won the last one. And
he hasn't lost one this year.
Yeah, but I mean, he got a call at the end of the last one. That game was lost. Yes. Like, I mean, okay, yes, they beat two teams that aren't very good, and then they beat the Rams. They had a 28-3 lead, and I'm not going to lie, he looked very good in that game. The talent is indisputable. The idea that he could just be so damn strong that he is face masking defensive linemen while breaking three tackles, and one of them is Aaron Donald's, like, I understand why you'd get excited about him, but if Lamar Jackson were that kind of reckless with the football, if he were that kind of reckless with the football, yeah. My guess is that the analysis wouldn't quite be the same.
Well, it's certainly not the same for several reasons. Lamar Jackson is the MVP, but we got to a point with Lamar Jackson where we just started touting the things that he's unbelievable at, and the stuff that he wasn't so great at, still working on, that discussion was diminished some. With Josh Allen, it was always about what he can't do. Perhaps we should start touting what he can do, because what he does is bring a different type of skill set that maybe sort of explains away some of the other inefficiencies in his game.
The completion percentage is the thing I'm concerned about, because last year it was 58.8. This year it's 71.1. I mean, can he continue to do
stuff? I would for you to say, huh?
Yeah, well, I'm choked up.
I would say to you, having seen their games this year, that I really like how they use him. That completion percentage isn't up because he's throwing in a lot of intermediate stuff. They use him very close to the line of scrimmage and deep balls. Like, it's both of them. So they might be incomplete deep, but they're not dangerously incomplete deep.
Right.
And they really are doing a good job scheming it up where you're seeing a whole lot of short and intermediary passes that he can't screw up with a lack of accuracy.
And to be fair, looking at the roster, his first couple of years in the league,
yes, he's being
surrounded by more talent right now, and that's helping him.
And again, the games I've seen, I've been surprised by his accuracy, because I don't think of him as an accurate quarterback.
Look, I don't dance now. I make money moves.
I mean, he averages 9.1 yards per completion.
He's been great this year. He started off the season in a way that only Mahomes and Manning and Brady had with, yes, you know, whatever, no interceptions and however many touchdowns he's got now and 300 yards a game.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. News from the Dan Le Batard Show Nation. Someone has just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. Eric Bender, at Eric Bender 16, says, please tell Stu that Brett Rypien is not Mark Rypien's son. Well, you told me. Thank you, Eric Bender 16.
Many people did. Many people.
It's his nephew.
Many people were burying you for this. It's very important that you get the Mark Rypien family lineage correct. The third string quarterback of the Broncos, you should know what his affiliation is to former Super Bowl quarterback Mark Rypien.
The Ripper. He looked good. I mean, I saw some Brett Favre in the Ripper last night. I did. Gunslinger.
Stugatz continues to say absurd things. He did so on the Bill Simmons podcast. He said Udonis Haslam should be used to just quickly go out there and foul six times. That was when Bill Simmons learned that Udonis Haslam was still on the Heat, and he co-signed the bill. He co-signed the Stugatz idea, calling Stugatz a genius, saying that's exactly what Udonis should be used for. Six fouls, fast and hard
fouls
on Anthony Davis and LeBron James.
Quote, why wouldn't they do that?
I mean, he's got six of them. He's not intimidated. He's a very strong man, and he does not care that LeBron James used to play for the Heat. He will lay six super hard fouls on that guy, and if he happens to miss a quarter or a game, so be it.
He wrote the book on basketball, Dan. I mean, it's clearly a good idea if he co-signs. Yep.
So game one of the NBA Finals averaged 7.41 million viewers on ABC. It is, by a good deal, the least watched NBA Finals game on record going back to 1988. The previous low, and I remember this series, good God, Spurs Nets in 2003. Yeah. Oh, what boy, an apocalypse that series was.
Yeah, this one's giving off that vibe. A little bit. The blowout has a lot to do with it, and also streaming doesn't count, and while the numbers help some, it's still not watched by very many people.
I will say to all of you, and this is not to defend the ratings, because I really don't care whether any of this stuff ends up rating or not, although I do find amusing the people who take victory laps on the Woke League or the Black League not having ratings, and then tie together the fact that it has to do with the social justice. I will just continue to remind you that all of television ratings are down because of how fractured the consuming experience is, because so many young people are living off the grid or streaming or doing it differently than on television. And then add to that the fact that usually when basketball is playing the finals, they get all sports fans. It's not some hockey fans are watching the Stanley Cup finals or other games are being played elsewhere that people are watching. And so you lose some of your base.
You're right. Although game one was Wednesday night, so it wasn't going directly head to head with football. Game two is tonight.
The biggest thing to apply is the NBA Finals has never really had to worry about an election cycle. With the NFL, we apply that context because election years viewership does go down because people are watching cable news, especially in an election like this one. More congested sports calendar, more options, and an election year, direct competition that the NBA Finals have never faced.
But the football numbers are up, correct?
Yeah, football numbers are doing well.
Yeah.
The other thing that I would add to this that I think is probably worth noting, because I'm always fascinated by the people who are fascinated by ratings, is the idea, Stugatz, that these leagues do not care whether or not you're watching. They're just trying to get to the television dollars. That's all they care about. No one has made it more bare naked greed than baseball has made it. It doesn't matter whether or not you're watching. And I would say that, as the president and the first lady come down with the coronavirus, as they test positive here, I will again, because it bears noting, just because you've gotten used to it and familiar and it seems normal to you, what an amazing thing basketball has done by successfully getting to the finals without anything falling apart, as the Titans now have more players test positive. Like, I know you've gotten used to it, and there's been a normalization. I expect my basketball. There will be no suspensions. There will be no players who are important who are lost. I want you to marvel at there was no precedent for what it is they did, and they got to finals games. You tell Adam Silver that he doesn't have any viewers at all, but he's going to get that. He would have taken it before it started. You could have given him zero viewers if I tell him there's not going to be anything virus-related around your sport.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.